And you're back on The One Show on Inner FM 96.5. The song we just listened to was Red Red Wine by The Replacements. And Gary has hijacked the music selections. We're doing all wine music at the moment. One of your favourites, Gary?
Oh, yeah. I grew up with 80s garage punk. That was my oeuvre.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, we have Frida Henskins from Henskins Rankin on the phone talking to us this morning. Good morning, Frida.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. As I mentioned, it's cold and wet and rainy down here, just like you.
You're down in Tasmania. Whereabouts in Tassie are you?
We're in southern Tasmania in Hobart.
Fantastic. It's a beautiful part of the world.
Yep, yeah, certainly is.
Now, sorry, go.
No, that's right.
I was just going to say, your 2010 sparkling wine won the trophy for the best mature sparkling wine and champion wine of show. You beat Arras, Bream Creek and Piri. How does that feel?
Whoa.
Yeah. we'd known about the first trophy, but we didn't know about the second one, so we were gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Still pinching ourselves occasionally.
And was that your first release?
Yes. Yeah. 7 years on yeast lees and nowadays about 2 years under cork.
Yeah. And when you were making the 2010, did you have any idea about how good it was?
I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I knew what I was aiming for. And we... we achieved what we hoped to. It's really nice that other people think agree with it.
And you guys did some not so humble bragging and shot me an email that sent me the link about what you won, and I went and bought a bottle retail. It's a stunning drink. It's amazing.
Thank you. Yep.
I'm very happy that the hype lived up to the wine, or the other way around. And so, where are you sourcing your fruit from?
Well, at the moment, I made that wine when I was while I was still studying for my master's, my winemaking degree, and I was working for a contract winemaker, so I was sourcing the fruit through them. We've been doing a little bit of that, but also with that wine, it's a multi-regional, so we like a blend of northern fruit, a little bit of eastern fruit if we can get it, and fruit from down here. So basically, phoning up people we know and seeing if they've got a bit extra. A lot of that comes from the northwest, White Rock.
Yep.
But it changes around a little bit depending on how much everybody's got. Sometimes we just can't, some of the fruit from the Derwent, for example, always gets bought out by the big boys. So we sort of have to scrabble around and find little parcels that we think will suit. And if we can't get the fruit that we want, we just don't make it.
That's pretty sensible. And do you find that different parts of Tassie bring different influences to the wine?
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the reasons for the multi-regionality. We want a snapshot of Tasmania in that year. We're not blending. That's my only blended wine, but we're not blending for a house style. We're blending to bring in the complexity and show what Tassie's like. So yeah, there's very different, definite terroir differences through the different regions within Tasmania. It works everywhere. That small changes in elevation and aspect and soil type really change what you've got in your glass. But particularly because you're using Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, which are very expressive grapes, that's really highlighted.
We've actually got Gary Mills here in the studio with us, and Gary makes wine and has wine from all over Victoria. Have you ever looked at doing a multi-region Victorian blend of Syrah or anything like that?
I have, yeah. It's good fun. Yeah, I do some very specific site, single vineyard site terroir driven wines, but yeah, I'm the same as you. I like to sort of have a look at what the greater region offers as well as a blend. It's quite a fascinating experience.
Yeah.
It's always interesting looking at the components on their own and then seeing how they come together to make a final drinking wine, yeah.
I bet, yeah. And Frida, the in the range you've got a few other sparklings. What else are you making?
Well, we only make sparkling. So I've just released our what I describe as a triple wild blanc. That's pure Chardonnay.
Yep.
wild barrel ferment, wild tirage, and natural. Went through Malo in the bottle as well.
I'd like to see that. That sounds great.
Oh, I only made 200 bottles of that, but I started making it again this year with about I managed to get about 100 about a ton, sorry, off fruit from my favourite vineyard, Tishinga, and I've never been able to get hold of it before, but they had enough this year, so I jumped on it. I also make a rosé ale that's also a single vineyard, that's Northwest. Got my hallmark wild barrel ferment, but I did a traditional tirage on that one.
Do you hand disgorge everything?
I've been getting things, depends on the size. I've been getting the disgorging done at what used to be Winemaking Tasmania. It's now Tasmanian Vintners, simply because I used to work there.
Yes.
And it was just really easy. So I got to do, with the Vintage Brutes, I got to do all the cellar work on it, and it was just easy to... to have it there.
Well done.
And hand disgorging when you get above a couple of hundred.
Oh, God, I know.
It gets really messy and really quite tiresome.
I've been helping a friend do it recently, and it's the filthiest job I've ever had to do and the most laborious thing. It's kind of turned me off making... I do pet nats, and that's about where it stops. It's like I don't want to touch them again after they're in bottle.
Yeah, well, we don't have a brine bath. So when we've disgorged at home, for example, things like my master's thesis for my winemaking degree, it was all things upside down in in dry ice.
Yeah.
So it's not the high tech way of doing things, but we've got the facilities there, and they've been really great partners with us. So we've just kept that relationship going.
It's pretty dramatic though when somebody hand disgorges a bottle of sparkling for you.
Yeah.
It's always you save that for the party tricks.
Do you mean hand disgorging or the sabrage?
Sabring. Yeah, it's good too. Yeah.
Yeah. In 2011, we were in Champagne and we're staying in Hervilly. It was the first time in living memory that Dom Perignon's Abbey was open, and we saw the chef de cave from Dom Perignon actually hand disgorged a whole lot of wine. That was pretty special.
That's amazing.
Was he good at it? I bet he was pretty good at it.
Yeah, funnily enough, yeah.
Hey, I stayed in that village in April. I took a small group over there and we stayed there. It was a beautiful part of Champagne.
Yeah.
Not much happening, though, after dark.
No, you have to go to the city for that, yeah.
It's all happening indoors.
On somebody's door.
Yeah,
everyone's drinking champagne inside.
Well, that's what we were doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, most people in that village, a lot of people who run the shops, live down in Ronce or Epinay or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. So you brought up champagne. What was your inspiration for starting your wine brand?
Well, when I was working for Winemaking Tasmania, I was working in the lab and the cellar. So I saw all the fruit coming in. I did all the maturity analysis. I looked at all the ferments and set up all the blending trials and things like that. So I saw an awful lot of sparkling, and I didn't really fancy any of it.
Yep.
So many people have a sparkling as part of their portfolio, but it's sort of a bit cookie cutter because it's not their main concern. I think sparkling, a little bit like rosé, often doesn't get taken anywhere near seriously enough. It's just seen as a little frivolous side issue. So we thought there was a lot of potential that we could tap into. I think that there was a lot more to be done. And so we started off with that 70% Chardonnay, 40% Pinot Noir, aiming for a lot longer on the yeast lees. Most people are only living 18 months to 2 years, and that's mainly a cash flow thing. And,
yep.
and frankly, making sparkling wine properly is punishing.
Yes.
Your accountant will not be happy with you.
What's it like seeing all of your stock sitting there for 8-10 years before you can actually commercialise it?
Yeah, and well, it's like with the things like the Triple Wild Blanc de Blanc or the Rosé we're about to. Once you run out of those things, or you can't continually make them, you can't fast track a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old sparkling. It's you just have to wait.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like love. You can't rush it.
But obviously, it's worth the effort with winning awards like you have. And what's the follow up like? What's the 2011 looking like?
Well, we crushed 2 tonnes for that, so a bit over 1,400 bottles.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about in terms of quality? Is it? Do you think it's going to rival the 2010?
It's a completely different year. Mm. 2010 down here, we came out of drought. Tasmania had been in drought for about 10 years.
Mm.
And so you had this warm winter, warm, wet winter, and then this just stunning, endless summer. So the wine really expresses that. It's 12.9% alcohol. 2011, it was cold and wet and rainy during flowering, and it was wet for a lot of the summer. Good things are making sparkling, so the low temperature kept the disease away.
Yep.
So they're completely different wines, very much their own thing. Both really stunning wines. The 11's at Sapphire and Landscapes down here, and when you can get a wine, it was one of your first releases past the chef at Sapphire. You're doing something right. Mm.
Yeah, I remember 2011. It was wet and cold, but it was still one of the best white wine vintages I've ever seen in my life.
It takes a little bit longer for, particularly for Chardonnay, to start looking pretty. So with our 11, it's had 6 years on yeast left, 2 years under cork now. So and I've been worrying about it, because it was so tight. And just in the last 4 or 5 months, it's just really gone boom, and you've suddenly got all these lovely roast nuts and nougat. Qualities coming out.
And one of the things, you're talking about how sparkling wine is not necessarily taken seriously. Do you think it's because it's just seen as either celebrations or the way to start the meal before you get into the serious, wine? What
and dare I say, a drink for the ladies?
Oh yes.
Heavy inverted commas around that one.
So when we when we sort of have good sparkling wine, like, if we can find a bottle of your 2010, there's not much left. What kind of food are you pairing it with?
Well, whatever I'm eating, frankly.
Yeah.
It goes really well. I can tell you from having it with Chinese last the night before last, it goes really well with Chinese. And I don't eat oysters, but obviously seafood.
Yeah.
And cheese. It's really... all my wines I've sort of made to go with food, and it's pretty much whatever you've got. it's got enough acid to cut through those sort of Richard German style foods, with the creamy, the creamy sauces and things like that.
Yep.
So it's pretty versatile.
I always say sparkling wine goes best with friends. That's all you need.
And a magnet. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Lots of it. Yeah.
That's quite good. So we're listening to Frida from Henskins Rankin making sparkling wine in Tasmania. Frida, is in light of what we were chatting about with Gary, is there any plans to have a cellar door or a space for you guys to welcome people and show off what you do?
Well, we had arrangements for a tasting room with a chef friend, and unfortunately his lease didn't get renewed on his restaurant. So,
yeah.
But we'll definitely do that. But probably not a traditional cellar door. I think we're probably going more for definitely a tasting room, so we can host people.
Yeah, have a little champagne bar.
Yeah.
Maybe. Someone else can run that.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, we've definitely got plans for that. But at the moment, I've only got an online license, so that's not what I'll be doing. But later in the year, there's certainly going to be a couple of events, hopefully up in Melbourne, and in Tasmania as well.
Hmm. There's so much good things happening down in Hobart at the moment. I think you're just sort of getting more and more people coming down, aren't you? You don't really need to go anywhere these days.
Oh, Hobart's actually booked out this weekend because Venice Beer's on.
Of course. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Most of the people I wanted to talk to this weekend are probably nursing their heads right at the moment.
Well, they're probably still at Tom McHugo's, I reckon. So.
Yeah, well, there's Vin Diemen up in Melbourne and Sydney this weekend as well. There's a lot happening.
It's all happening. Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, and you mentioned events up in Melbourne. You're coming up in September. We're going to do a tasting on the 5th of September on the Thursday. Mm-hmm. We're going to Spencer & Co. Wine Bar, and we're going to look through your range, and we're going to pair it against some benchmarking sparklings from Australia and no doubt Champagne and maybe somewhere else. I don't know, Carver or something Italian. We'll see what's kicking about.
I'd love to see some Francia Quarters.
Yeah.
They do tend to be a bit on the pricey side, but
yeah, it feels paying. That's all right.
So we haven't.
Can I have that in writing?
No. So we haven't finalised the pricing yet, but if people are interested, want to register their interest, they can contact myself at philip@thewinedepository.com.au, or they can get in contact with you or myself via social media or websites, and we'll make that happen for sure. It's going to be good fun. And have you got anything else coming up when you're in town?
No, when I'm in town, it's mainly a sales trip. So I've got appointments to see other people, but I'll be bringing a couple of pre-releases. Like as I said, the rosé hasn't been released yet. I'll release if I've applied to be part of the Effervescence Emerging Producer Program. So if I get onto that, then I'll release the rosé for that. I think I might bring up my 2012, because I disgorged that at the beginning of this year, so we've had almost a year. 2012 was absolutely magic. It was a hot year, warm, a lovely, lovely year, low disease pressure, and I only put 2 grams residual on it. If I had more fruit, I would have made it as a zero dosage. But that's a teaser, because I won't be releasing that till next year.
Hey, just going back to one of my earlier questions, when we're talking about the fact that your stock sits there for so long and you can't do anything with it, are there any times you just sort of look at it and wish you just smashed out a whole lot of pet nat and just flogged it off for cheap?
No. Look, my previous incarnation was as a plant physiologist, and including an ecophysiological modeller for CSIRO forestry, and you don't walk away from a 12-year career in science to do what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
And frankly, pet nats aren't hard enough. why would you do that? And there are plenty of people doing really superb jobs of that. I guess I like a challenge.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be lovely if we didn't have to pay tax on our wines when you could hold them in bond and only pay tax when you actually release them?
My older brother lives in Belgium, and he's always complaining about how expensive Australian wine is, and I should tell him about it's essentially 40% taxes, and he just looks horrified. But if it's funding the infrastructure, and particularly things like AWRI have fantastic services, then in the middle you get that from the levy, then I'm quite happy with that. Some of it comes a bit across as a sort of a no fun tax, but that's just the environment we have to live in.
That's true. You can't change that. Now, Frieda, if people want to get in contact with you, is the website the best place to do that?
We've got a Facebook. The website at the moment is a holding page.
Okay.
But it's got an email. You can leave emails on that holding page.
Fantastic. And on Facebook, it's Henskins Rankin of Tasmania. You can't miss it.
That's the easiest way.
Excellent. Frieda, thank you so much for joining us on air today, and look forward to catching up with you in September and sharing some of these sparkling wines with you in the flesh.
Right. Really looking forward to it, and thank you for having us.
Stay warm.
You too. Bye-bye.
See ya. All right. That was Frieda Henskins from Henskins Rankin. Find them on Facebook at the moment at Henskins Rankin out of Tasmania. We will grab a few more sponsors, and we'll keep rolling on with the show.